If you have your Bibles, please turn to Acts chapter 11. We're going to start all the way from verse 19. And as you have heard, we're closing off our missions month. I don't know how many of you enjoyed it, but I really did, just not only through the challenges, but just being reminded of this whole thing called the Transformosphere, that we don't want to just end it here in the month of November, but we want this to be something that's ongoing, kind of like a centerpiece, a value in our church, that we want to raise up people who really are understanding the whole gospel, and they will live that out in their mission field, which is whether you're in commerce, your healthcare, arts and media and entertainment, whatever it may be, the religious institutions, government and politics, education field, and the domestic issues that deals with families. Because those are the seven spheres that literally is composed of every single society. Wherever you go, it doesn't matter what country, what continent, what city, what rural village you go to, you will always see those spheres. And if we can go to those spheres and live out the gospel message as we're salt and light of the world, I really believe we're going to change not only culture, but we're going to change lives as they see our lives shining brightly as stars before them in the universe. So I want to encourage us to keep that in mind. So we're going to finish off our Transformosphere series as well as our missions month. And today I want to talk about the circle and something that many of you are familiar with by now, but I want to kind of tease it out a little bit more so you understand what it is that we're trying to do and what we're about as a church. And after I share that, I'm going to give every single one of you an opportunity to respond at the end of this time. Because we don't want to spend a whole month talking about God's heart for mission and not have some of you respond to God. So we already encourage you to download the app because the response will be there. And so we're going to have each one of you hopefully respond to something. So instead of giving cards and doing all that, we're going to have you do it right there on the app. And then as we receive it, we'll send it back to you and have your leaders keep you accountable. And we're going to walk through this together. Let me just for the sake of summary, as well as some of you who might have missed some of our parts here, or you're new, you're joining us. Pretty much Transformosphere is the phrase transform a sphere. And as I shared a little bit, we believe that society has these spheres, seven of them, that are very crucial, and we want to be able to influence them with the gospel message. And so part one, we talked about how culture matters. Culture is very important. A lot of times people remove themselves from culture and we're against culture, and that's not what we should be. We're in the world, but not of it. And we want to be able to create new culture. And a lot of times we're dictated by what the world says. What would it be like if we were to create a culture that is so counterintuitive or even revolutionary? Because they're going to be like, how can that be? How can you have a business person who's ethical and won't be corrupt or cheat? How can you have this kind of family? Or how can you have this kind of aspirations and dreams? And so we have to create that. We have to show the world why we do what we do. And that's why unless you understand the whole gospel, you will not be able to shape the culture that we want to see happen. The second part we talked about was how career matters. That every single one of you, whatever field that you are in, whatever you're studying, even though it's a job that you hate with a passion, in this season of time, God has placed you there because he is training you and preparing you for something greater in the future. That's why some of you who are in jobs that you hate so much, maybe what God is trying to teach you is faithfulness. What if God is trying to teach you how to be diligent? Because there's going to be something else in the next season where he's going to elevate you, and that's going to be the level of influence that you will have. That's why don't get so discouraged or even despise the thing that you're experiencing right now, because God doesn't make mistakes. He is purposeful in all that he does. Those of you who are students, you have to study well. We keep on talking about it because in some sense, that is your job. Now, some of you, as I talk to different people, some of you, you have made grades your idol. You have made school your idol. It is the idol that you worship. We don't want you to be idol worshiping, but we want you to be able to focus in and to be able to grow spiritually through coming and doing what you are responsible in your studies, and so that through that you could be a faithful witness. Man, I've been very humbled as I kind of am helping to lead a life group at HKU. It was like that with UST as well, since UST is number one in all of Hong Kong now in the recent ranking, so we've got to give some props to UST. But I just realized, like, the people there, they take studies very seriously. And if you do not, you already lost any credibility to share about Jesus Christ. Because if that's something that they value so much and you're not really doing the best that you can, what happens is that they're not going to respect you. So if you say, Jesus transformed my life, they're going to look at you and say, if that's how he transforms you, I don't want anything to do with your Jesus. That's why when you're a group project, be the most diligent one. Be the most proactive one. That's how you draw the attention of the world, and then you can say you're motivated not to just get a good grade, but because there's this God that you serve and you want to give your best. Part three, we talked about how the city matters, that we are a church in this city for the city. So I'm praying that all that we do, we're trying to bless Hong Kong. We want it to be a better place than when we first started our church 2 years ago. I'm praying that that's something that we will commit to more and more. So let me go ahead and talk about how the circle matters. Let me fix the mic here. Is that better? Okay. One thing that I do know is that the world is changing rapidly. I mean, all you have to do is just check the news and you'll realize how things are changing very quickly. I'm just amazed at how far behind, in many ways, the United States. We were once way ahead in so many different areas. But now as I'm looking and living here in this side of the world, I realize technology and there are other things here that are way above and even faster than what I've seen in the States. And even the geopolitical situation is changing rapidly. You think about some of the different issues that are coming up just within our societies. You think about even the whole terrorist situation. Can you imagine? It wasn't too long ago with the whole refugee situation from Syria. It's almost as if we just forgot about it. Like, literally, things are changing in an instant. Now with AI coming, it's going to literally transform how we interact with people. Now, I'm not one of those guys who are always avoiding technology. There's always good in things. But there will be changes that will be coming up in the future. And so one of the things that when you think about that is that how are we going to engage this kind of rapidly changing culture that we're living in this world? I really believe that means that we really have to commit ourselves to the gospel message. That means that we, every single one of you in this room, will have to see yourselves as a missionary, a person who's being sent out. That's why every single Sunday when we're done and you finish your lunch and you're walking out of those doors, you're being sent out into your mission field so that you can make a difference. And I want to show you this quick video. And I don't know how many of you guys know John Christ. He's a Christian comedian, but he's kind of hilarious. I like him because he uses a lot of sarcasm. And he uses something called parody. I don't know if you know what a parody is. I was debating whether to show this video because half of you will probably not get it because you're very literal in everything. But some of you who are a little bit more westernized, you might get some of the jokes that he's making here. But a parody is pretty much, it's an exaggerated imitation of something or someone. So it's stuff that you've heard or you've seen, but so exaggerated and so crazy that all you can do is almost like laugh. And the reason why I like him is that he really exposes a lot of the hypocrisy and also a lot of the weird things that Christians do that think is okay, but he literally exposes that in a funny way that you have to laugh at yourself, because you probably found yourself doing some of the things that he's talking about. And so in this video, it's a parody on something called the Millennial Missionaries. And so him and supposedly his wife, they feel this call to be a missionary, to go out. And I want you to watch it. And just like I said, those of you who think this is really serious, it's a parody. All right. So ha, ha, ha. You can laugh a little bit. All right. After I come back, I'll try to explain everything that they were trying to say. There's some Christian jokes in there that if you really grew up in the church ever since you were in your mother's womb, you might be on the ground laughing really hard. Or you might get very angry. That means you're self-righteous. So anyway, it's going to be a lot of fun things. So I want to show you this video, and it's called The Millennial Missionary. And just to kind of help us to see what we need to do in terms of our calling to go out into the world, into our mission field. So let's watch this together. You know, when you think about that, even though it seems so ridiculous, I think you can fill in the blanks with so many of us and how we view missionaries. Every single one of you are called on a mission. That's God's mission. And so when you walk out of these doors, you are a missionary. You're entering into your sphere, your neighborhood, and you have to represent Christ. And so I want to just start there as we think about the culture matters, our career matters, our city matters, and how the circle that we've been talking about in our church, how it's going to matter to all of us collectively as a church. I hope you got the point that they're trying to make. And like I said, I wanted to be careful because it's a little bit sensitive, but to me, I thought it was funny because, you know, a lot of times we don't even see our own hypocrisy in the things that we say and we do. And listen to what John Piper said in his book, Don't Waste Your Life. He said this: I am wired by nature to love the same toys that the world loves. I start to fit in. I start to love what others love. I start to call Earth home. Before you know it, I'm calling luxuries needs and using my money just as any unbelievers do. I begin to forget the war. I don't think much about people perishing. Missions and unreached people drop out of my mind. I stop dreaming about the triumphs of grace. I sink into a secular mindset that looks first to what man can do, not what God can do. It is a terrible sickness, and I thank God for those who have forced me again and again towards a wartime mindset. You know, the thing that I love about John Piper as he writes is that he is so God-centered and heavenly-centered. That what he's saying is that all of us right now, as we're living and breathing, we are in war. There's a spiritual war that's going on that deals with people's souls, people who are perishing, people who are lost. And so often we get lulled into this comfortable, secure kind of mindset where we're just going through the week, getting up in the morning, and then doing our business. And then all of a sudden we come back home and we go to sleep and we do this day after day, and we forget that we are in a wartime situation. And that's why we want to be able to work together, partner together as a church, to be able to see more people come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. Did you know that according to the UN, currently right now in November of 2017, there are 7.6 billion people in this world? I want you to think about that for a moment. Right now, in the month of November in 2017, this year, there's 7.6 billion people in this world. And majority, the vast number of the 7.6 billion people do not have hope. They do not know true love. They do not know the gospel. They don't know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. And the problem is, for many of us, it doesn't move us. It doesn't do anything to us. Because we're so caught up in our own little world and the things that we do, that we forget the calling that we have. And that's why I think it's vital that we get the sense of urgency. And not just doing it for ourselves individually, but together in our life groups, as well as in our church. As many of you know, God has given us a very clear vision. It's to multiply churches in campuses and in cities to transform the next generation among the nation. That's what we're going to keep on doing. That's the heartbeat of our church. That's why right now, the immediate thing that we're trying to do, that's why we have these Thanksgiving parties. That's why we have life groups. That's why we promote the things that we're doing. That's why we're trying to do the Bible reading plan. Everything that we're doing right now is to transform lost people into Christ's disciples who would then transform the world. If we can see more lives being transformed, then we'll see the multiplication of communities, which will be churches, and we could reach the next generation among all the nations. So for us to be faithful in seeing the vision and mission becoming reality, I want to talk about, as we close out this missions month, I want to talk about the circle and our role and our plan and our participation in this. So let me give us the one thing. The one thing is simply this, that it's all about Jesus as we are sent out with the gospel all throughout the world. That it's all about Jesus as we're being sent out with the gospel message all throughout the world. And the beautiful thing about having an international church is that we have people from different parts of the world. Some of you are going to only be here for a couple of years and you're going to go back to your home country. Some of you will be here for a little bit longer. Some of you, this is going to be where you put down your roots. This is going to be your home, or this is your home. And so wherever God sends us, we want to make it all about Jesus. And then being sent out with this gospel message, the whole gospel message, the good news, so that we can then go out through every single part of this world and transform it. I want to talk about two specific things in this passage as we remember how it's all about Jesus and how we're sent out with this gospel throughout all the world. The first point that I want to make is that we must trust in God's purposes. That we have to trust in His purpose. Now, I know this is something that we talk about a lot in our church, but I really am praying that it will translate not just into head knowledge, but into our hearts and then in obedience. We have to trust in God's purpose. That simply means that you believe that God is greater. He's smarter than you. He knows what He's doing in your life, that His plans are better than your plans. The things that you want, that you think that is such an important thing, it might not, according to God's economy. When you trust in God's purpose, that means that you're fully surrendered. You're saying, God, you know better than me. You know me. You know my life. You know the future. And I'm going to trust you every step along the way as you lead me and guide me. When you look into the book of Acts, it is a book of purpose. If some of you are really searching for purpose, I would say look into the book of Acts. You will see God's purposes being advanced. You will even be able to find your own purpose in joining God and what He's doing all around the world. It gives us a glimpse. When you read the book of Acts, it gives us a glimpse of how God and the early church, as God was moving in their hearts, they were able to do incredible things. There are a couple things I want to highlight for us as we notice about God's purpose. The first thing is this, that our circumstances fulfill God's purpose. That our circumstances fulfill God's purpose. Will you read with me, starting from verse 19? We're just going to read this first verse, and we're just going to take a lot of these verses, couple of verses at a time, and really try to unpackage it as best as we can. Listen to what it says, starting from verse 19. It says this. Now those who were scattered because of the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, speaking the word to no one except Jews. Let me just pause here in verse 19, and I want to look at this together. We have to notice that if you kind of back up a little bit one chapter, you will notice that the believers were scattered all throughout this area because of the persecution that was happening that we read about in chapter 8 of the book of Acts. And this is where Stephen, the God's Holy Spirit-filled man who was martyred because of his faith. And if you look at Acts chapter 8, verse 1b, it's going to be up here so you could just kind of read along. It says this, "And there arose on that day a great persecution against the church in Jerusalem, and they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles." So the apostles stayed in Jerusalem, but everyone else were scattered all over in this area. Now, the part that I want you to understand as I'm talking about how our circumstances fulfill God's purpose is that this is how the gospel started to spread, not only in Jerusalem, but now throughout the region of Samaria and throughout the ends of this earth. Why is this important? Let me show you in a map, and hopefully you can kind of see it. Can I get a... Here's Jerusalem up right over here. I don't know if this is... Yeah, here we go. This is Jerusalem. And so because of the persecution, they all started scattering. And some of them went over to Cyprus. This is where Cyprus is. And now this is the key place that they went as far as Antioch. I'm going to zero in on the city of Antioch as we look at this map. So persecution, a circumstance, came and they began to spread out. And how that was part of God's greater purpose and greater plan. I was thinking about this. I said, isn't it amazing that God can use something that is that bad and turn it into something that's so good? I think this is our God, who's a miracle working God. There are some things that some of you are going through right now that are way beyond your control. There are some things that you've experienced in your life that doesn't make sense to you right now. And you don't even want to wish it on the person that you don't like. It is so difficult. The cross that you carry, the burden that you carry, it is so strong. And it's in those times when you start wondering, God, are you good? Is your purpose, your plan for me, for my family, is it good? We begin to wonder because we don't have the foresight to see what God sees. This is why we have to trust, no matter what circumstance you're going through, that God, if He is good and that He is sovereign, and that He is purposeful, that He's going to somehow use whatever we are going through for something that's greater. So can you imagine, here are these early disciples. The persecution came in Jerusalem, and now they're scattered all over the place. And they're wondering, like, why are we here? Why didn't God protect us? Why do we have to go through this? Why do we lose our friend Stephen as he was martyred? And by the way, he was martyred by Paul, who was formerly known as Saul. Can I just challenge us this morning as we're talking about trusting in God's purpose? That right now, through your circumstance or circumstances, God is trying to fulfill His purpose in you. He's going to use your experience. He's going to bring you to a place. We don't know where that is, but He's going to bring you to a place that's going to be prepared for you and your family. Another thing you will notice here is how our calling fulfills God's purpose. So not only circumstances fulfill God's purpose, but you're going to see how the calling that we have, it fulfills God's purpose. Let's read now in verse 20 as we continue in the story. "But there were some of them, men of Cyprus and Cyrene, who on coming to Antioch spoke to the Hellenists also, preaching the Lord Jesus." Once again, let's just pause here and examine this a little bit. If you look at the last phrase from verse 19, you will see that people were scattered all throughout the world. But they were sharing the gospel only to whom? To the Jews. But in verse 20, you see that this is one of the first times where they shared the gospel to the Hellenists or to the Greeks. Pretty much they were the Gentiles, those who were non-Jews. This was the first time that we see this was clearly stated. So I want to ask you this question. Why is this significant? You need to understand a little bit about Bible history to know this. The reason why this is significant in this portion of scripture is because this was the mission of God for the Jewish people. The message of how the Messiah would come for the Jews. And then through that blessing, they would then share this good news to the nations. That was their calling. So in fact, the calling for the Jewish people was very clear that God is going to bless you so that as you are blessed, you would then bless other people. That was the whole mindset of the Jewish people, that we're blessed to be a blessing. And they were simply to bring this gospel message or the message of salvation to all the nations. So I want you to follow along with me. The calling that the Jewish people had was that the Messiah was going to come to you. You're going to be saved. So then you could take that salvation and you're going to proclaim that message to all the nations. That was God's plan from the beginning of time. He was going to choose the Israelite people, a small group of people, make a covenant with them, and be faithful to them. Even if they worship idols and golden calves and turn away from him, God was going to be faithful no matter what, because he wanted to fulfill his greater plan of drawing all men and women to him. So it was going to be through the Jewish people, and it's through that line the Messiah was going to come. To bring this message of salvation to the nations. Listen to a couple of these verses. There are so many. I just picked these two. Listen to what it says. Psalm 67 verse 1 and 2. It says this. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine upon us, that your ways may be known on earth. Your salvation among, come on, everyone say it. All nations. That's why we're asking God to bless us. It's not for ourselves. The Jewish people knew that when God is blessing them, it's not for them. It's for the nations. Isaiah chapter 49, verse 6b, it says in the English Standard Version, it says this, I will make you a light for the nations, that my salvation may reach to the ends of this earth. You're going to be a light for the nations. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to keep my covenant with you so that you will be blessed, and then you will shine brightly to all the nations so that they will come up to the mountain of the Lord in Zion and worship. I like how the Message translation of it, how it translates it in this way. I'm setting you up as a light for the nation so that my salvation becomes what? Global. That it's not something that's just contained to one people group or to one city, but it's supposed to be global. But the Israelite people failed to live out their calling. That's why Jesus came, to fulfill God's plan for salvation. Now, because he came and lived the perfect life that you and I could not live. He died on the cross, was crucified, buried, and then rose again from the dead. And before he ascended into heaven, he gave a commission to the disciples, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, because I'm going to be with you to the end of the age. And then even before, as he spoke to the disciples, in Acts chapter 1, what did he say? In Acts 1:8, it says, you will receive power on high from the Holy Spirit when it comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of this earth. Listen, I want you to pull back a little bit just as we're looking at this text. I want you to know that this one decision by these believers to reach out to the Greeks or to the Gentiles, it helped to fulfill their calling as witnesses to the nations. Are you with me? Can I get a good amen if you're with me? Do you understand that? The Jewish people failed in carrying out the mission. Jesus came into this world and he gave this commission now to us, the church, that you are to now go and make disciples. And you're going to be my witnesses wherever you go, because we're going to make this thing global. I think it's also very significant that they went into Antioch. They could have gone to any of these other cities, but they went to Antioch. Those of you who are not familiar with Antioch, during the biblical times, it was the third largest city during that time. It was next to Rome and Alexandria. Those were the two top cities, but Antioch was the third. It was a very busy port city. That's why there were a lot of trade and commerce. It was a very wealthy city in that way. And it was a center for luxury as well as for culture. It was literally, I would compare it to New York or Hong Kong or Seoul or any of these global cities that we talk about. That was Antioch. And that's why Antioch attracted so many different people from all different nations and all different races. This is the reason why I love Hong Kong so much. It's because people from different cultures come. Even just last night when we were at the Thanksgiving party, it was so awesome just to meet people from so many different countries. And they're not just from that country, but hearing their story, they lived in another country. So they're confused. I'm confused. We're all confused. And we're like, okay, you know, this is good. We're friends. I mean, you know, when you ask them, where are you from? And they pause more than 5 seconds, they're third culture. Because they don't know. They go, well, I kind of was born here, but I lived like a portion of my life over here. But then my dad got a job over here. So I lived here for all of my junior high and high school years. So I guess it's kind of here. And so you know what they normally decide? During the night, they flip a coin and wherever it lands. No, they don't do that. But a lot of times it's dependent on where they've lived the longest. A lot of times there's this confusion. That's why I love where we are and what we're doing. Like literally Hong Kong is attracting the world. And can you imagine if we see Hong Kong transformed, we can literally create culture and shape people's lives with the gospel message. Antioch was an influential city that needed to be reached with the gospel message of Jesus Christ. I think it's also interesting that not only was it an effective church that was planted in the city, but it became the church where the Apostle Paul and other disciples were being sent out to reach the world with the gospel. This is a very important church. In fact, it became the hub for all of the missions work that came after this. See, when we understand our calling and God uses our circumstances and we know that He's using it, that's when I think great things can happen. Let me close out with verse 21 on this first point. Listen to what it says. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number who believed turned to the Lord. How encouraging is that? That we see God's hand upon them, God's favor upon them, and that many people came to know Jesus Christ. Man, I want to trust fully in God's promises. I want to fully trust in God's purposes for me and for our church. I can't fully predict everything that will happen. There's some things, ups and downs, that I go through, as many of you go through. There's some situations that some of you are going through that I haven't gone through, and I'm sure that some of you are carrying this burden. It's very heavy. But all I can say is, God, if you are who you say that you are, then I want to believe that somehow your purpose that you're carrying out, not only what we see in scripture, but in this world, in this rapidly changing world, that you're still in control, that you still have a plan for everything that's going on. That's why we've got to trust you. This is what's going to help us as we think about even the one thing, to make it all about Jesus, so that when we're being sent out with this gospel message, we can go throughout the whole earth and share this love of Christ. Let me quickly go to the second point and close out with this. So we must not only trust in God's purpose, but we have to be trained for God's purpose. So not only do we have to trust in God's purpose, but we must train for God's purpose. I'm going to quickly jump into verse 22 and on. I want you to notice there are three things that happen after the people started to find out what God was calling them to do. These are three quick points you will notice. The first one is there's evaluation. Look at verse 22. Look at this verse with me as we continue in the story. It says this: the report of this came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. It's kind of interesting because God is doing some incredible things in this church in Antioch. And so by now, the word started spreading. Now, they didn't have internet. You know, you could have message. Can you imagine if they had internet? It's like, bam, taking pictures, videos, and like, oh my God. So don't send Barney. You wouldn't need it. We see this in front of us. But they didn't have that. So they said, okay, we're hearing all these news of people coming to know the Lord. Great things are happening. So whether they did it out of doubt or they wanted to just make sure to verify, or maybe it was just to encourage. But all we know is that they decided to send Barnabas to Antioch to actually see what was going on. As a report of this was coming, you will notice that as they're wondering what was going on, that Barnabas was the right person to go. Those of you who know a little bit about Barnabas, he is known as what? Come on, everyone say it. The son of what? Encouragement. To be able to send somebody who's a very encouraging, a cheerleader type, to be able to not only confirm what's going on, but to even exhort them and to encourage them along the way. That's a very powerful thing. Now, the reason why we say evaluation is this. I mean, you can't believe everything that happens. You not only got to test it, but you got to be able to evaluate it. And I hope those of you who have been in our church for some time now, at least you will know that one of the things that we value is feedback and evaluation. Some of you hate it with a passion. And because after a while, it's the same thing, right? What are some praises, yay God moments, and then what are some things we could improve on? And some of you who have been in our more of the core, you know that we do this quite often. And do you know why we do this? Because we want to make your life miserable. No, I'm just kidding. No, we don't do it to make your life miserable. Do you know why we do it? The reason why we evaluate after every major event or after everything that we do. Like, I don't know how many of you who are in the core group have evaluated the Thanksgiving party. Some of you have. I haven't yet, but I'm going to have to. Because somebody who's leading was telling me, we need to evaluate. I'm like, yes, you know. Do you know why we do it? First of all, I think so often we forget that it's not us, but it's God. So when we're able to evaluate, we just realize that was a God thing. We prayed about that and God answered. When we started evaluating, we realized, wow, we're just instruments, but it was God who empowered us. Part of evaluation is to really point everything back to God. Another reason is this. We're not looking for perfection. Remember we talked about that? But we are constantly wanting to improve because you know why? Because we believe that God is excellent in all that he does. And not only that, but if there's anything that hinders someone from coming to know Jesus Christ, we want to work on that because we value people. So if there was something that happened during that event that caused people to get angry or turn away and they don't want to come anymore, we want to make sure what it is so that we don't do that again because we want to be able to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. If people get offended, we don't want them to get offended by anything else but just the gospel because the gospel is offensive. So that's why we do evaluation. That's part of the training. We're trying to train you to be better kingdom workers. We're training you to be able to have the eye to say, what can I do to see one more person come to know Jesus Christ? Another thing you will notice here is not only in evaluation, but as I mentioned a little bit earlier, is encouragement. Look at verse 23 and 24. It's kind of interesting as we see this next portion. It says this, when he, being Barnabas, when he came and saw the grace of God, he was glad and he exhorted them all to remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast purpose. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and a great many people were added to the Lord. So not only was there this evaluation to really see if this is something that God is doing, but after he saw with his own eyes, what does it say? He was glad because he realized the grace of God was upon this community. That's why he encouraged them to be faithful to God's purpose. Not your own, but to God's purpose, what he's doing. The word exhorted that you see here in the ESV It is the same word as urged or encouraged. So he urged them to be faithful to that purpose, that mission of God. He encouraged them to remain true to God. That's why in the New American Standard Bible, it translates that portion of scripture in this way. Then when he arrived and witnessed the grace of God, he rejoiced and began to encourage them all with resolute heart to remain true to the Lord. See, part of the training, listen to me carefully, part of the training is learning how to be encouraged and challenged to continue to be true and faithful to God and his purpose. Man, I'm so thankful for different people that God has placed in my life. Because I'm telling you, once you're doing ministry 24/7 and your whole mind is set on just like, what can I do? Or meeting with people, you know, it gets tiring. It gets very draining. And some of you who have been serving even throughout this whole week, you know how hard it is when you're meeting up with people. You're doing the LCG. You're going to life group and you're serving in different ways. You're staying up late. You have to do other stuff for work or even for school. But, you know, it's easy just to get caught up in doing all the tasks. And that's something that I fall into often because I just have to get things done. I'm a doer. And so I want to get things done. And these are the times when I totally lose my heart. I lose my focus on why I'm doing what I'm doing. And this is when I need someone and some people around me to remind me why I'm doing what I'm doing. That's why it's important that you have people who can encourage you, who could challenge you. If you don't, I will say this to you, you're going to be riding or going down this path that's going to be very dangerous. Make sure you have some close friends or some people that love you enough that will encourage you, say words of truth and God's promises to lift up your spirit, not just what your itching ears want to hear, but just words of truth in love. But also to challenge you. If you don't have anyone challenging you, then you're not going to grow. You're not going to be discipled. So we see there's evaluation, there's encouragement. And one thing that I just kind of noticed here that I thought was kind of interesting is that if you look at verse 24, you will notice that we see more people being added to the Lord, to the number. So here's Barnabas. He comes to witness all this stuff, but I'm sure he's still sharing the gospel. So more people are coming to Christ. Incredible. And the third and last, as we're talking about how we have to train for God's purpose, the third thing that we will notice, not only evaluation and encouragement, but we see equipping. Look at verse 25 and 26, and we'll close with this from this section here. Listen to what it says. So Barnabas went to Tarshish to look for whom? Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. For a whole year, they met with the church and taught a great many people. And in Antioch, the disciples were first called Christians. Did you see what just happened? It's kind of interesting that Barnabas goes to Tarshish to look for Paul or Saul, which is known as Paul. So we'll just call him Paul. With this incredible growth, people coming to know Jesus Christ, Barnabas and the people in Antioch needed more help. And there was no one better than Paul. Now, some of you are probably thinking that, why Paul? It was most likely that Barnabas knew that Paul's calling that God placed on his life, Paul's life, to reach out to the Gentiles. And Barnabas wanted to encourage him and utilize him to the fullest of his potential. If you remember, it was God who spoke to Ananias and told him to go and meet Paul, who was known as Saul back then. But Ananias was afraid because Saul, not too long ago, was killing Christians. But God gave a glimpse of what he wanted Paul to do. And listen to what he says. So this is why I think Barnabas and the other disciples knew about Paul's calling on his life. Acts chapter 9, verse 15 and 16. Listen to what it says. But the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine. He being Paul. So he's speaking to Ananias. God is speaking to Ananias. And he says, go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before, everyone say it, come on, before the Gentiles and the kings and of children of Israel, for I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake, or the sake of my name. So pretty much what the son of encouragement, the Barnabas, was doing was, wait a minute. Paul has this calling on his life. And God has been working on him. He's been suffering through all these different things. So I'm going to go get him because he's the perfect candidate to come to this place called Antioch that's filled with Gentiles, and let Paul, who was prepared for this, training for this, ready for this, so that now he can share the gospel and raise up people in this great church. You know, when you think about this, it's incredible just how not only God sovereignly works, but he uses people to reach out to other people who will then reach out to other people. That's what God is doing. And then you will notice in verse 26, as we have read, it says, Barnabas and Paul stayed with the people for how long? Everyone say it. For one whole year. And what were they doing? They were teaching. They were discipling. They were mentoring. They were coaching. They were helping. Giving feedback. Evaluating. Encouraging. Equipping the members. That's why I'm a firm believer it is so important that we need to grow spiritually as a church. That's the only way we're going to be able to fulfill the calling that God has in our lives, if we grow as a church. If you just come out on Sundays or maybe life groups, but you don't really grow on your own and you read the word and you get strengthened by it, you have nothing to give to your life group or even to your LCG. I mean, can you imagine if God is speaking to you and you're growing, you feel the presence of God, everything that he said in his word is true, and you're experiencing it, and you're like, God, you are faithful, you are good. I guarantee you, every single time you come to one of our church gatherings, your whole spirit will be different. When we sing some of these songs, the songs, as you're singing them, it's not just words coming out of your mouth, but it's going to come from your heart because you believe it. Because, yeah, we are thankful for all that God has done. For this is who you are. That's why it no longer becomes just a song, but it becomes prayers. It becomes our lifestyle. It's overflowing out of our relationship with God. We need to be committed to the discipleship process. I mean, Paul and Barnabas, they spent a whole year spending every single day probably discipling and imparting and equipping these people who are in Antioch. That's why we need this. That's why let's not give up the habit of not meeting together. Or excuse me, let me rephrase that. Let's not give up the habit of meeting together. But let's meet to encourage, to uplift. Listen to what Henry Martin said. He was a missionary to India in the early 1800s. Listen to what he said. The Spirit of Christ is the spirit of missions. The nearer we get to him, the more intensely missionary we become. How powerful is that? I want you to think about that for a moment. Here's this missionary to India in the early 1800s, and one of the things that he understood is that when you are intimate and close with God, as you're spending time in the Word, in prayer, you cannot help but to be intensely involved in missions. That's why any church that's involved in mission, I don't even have to know the pastor or even the people. All I can say is they're probably committed to either discipleship or they're trying to encourage their members to read the word. There's something going on in that church that's causing people to be a part of God's mission. Because the closer you are to God's heart, the more you will know what he wants and what he's trying to do. And that's when you're going to get involved with him because you love him and you worship him and you're devoted to him. Can I challenge you this morning? I don't know what it is that captures your heart, but if Jesus Christ is supreme above all other things and he is your greatest desire, then the things on God's heart, on Jesus' heart, will be on your heart. Isn't that how it is with your friends or those people, family members that you're close to? Because you care for them so much, what's important to them is important to you. That's why I don't believe that you can just sit there idly and just kind of think that somehow you can just coast by. Because the closer you are to Christ, the more intensely you will get involved with mission. That doesn't mean you have to go to India or thousands of kilometers away, but mission is right here, right in your schools, right there in your workplace. That is your mission. That is the thing that will motivate you to get up in the morning when you don't want to get up in the morning, because you love Christ and the things that He is passionate about, you are passionate about. That's why it was at this place they were first called Christians. And not only were they called Christians there as they were growing, but this church started to send out more people to proclaim the gospel in other cities. That's why we've got to train for God's purpose. We have to train. If some of you are going to be sent out, you're graduating or you're going on an internship, some of you are going to exchange. Some of you are like, oh man, we only have a month left. You better spend as much time you can get trained. You got to get trained. Because if you don't, it's going to be like a wave, a tsunami that's going to literally engulf you. That's what the world does. And you're going to take a little break from God, and then you're going to somehow come back, and you're not going to magically jump back in. You have to keep on running. Even if it's 1 kilometer a day, you got to keep on running. Because this is a marathon. This is a long, long race. Some of us are going to literally just pull over to the pit stop and just sit there and not do anything. And you're going to come back and you're going to be like, whoa, what happened? That's why I want to encourage some of you who are going on exchange, some of you who are doing internships or whatever you're doing, just get connected, stay connected to your life group. Hopefully they have WhatsApp and they don't ban it if you go to this one country. Because they ban Skype now. We have to trust in God's purpose and we have to train for His purpose. That's why the one thing, once again, it's all about Jesus. And God is literally sending us out with the gospel so that we can just go throughout all the earth, throughout this whole world, and see more people come to know Jesus Christ. At this time, as we close, I want to have one of our brothers here share his testimony. Some of you already know him. He's just recently joined our church, but he's no stranger to our church because he's part of our greater HMCC family. I think I've known him now for, how long has it been now? Maybe 10 plus years. And just seeing him when he was in Ann Arbor and growing in his love for God and even serving as a leader, helping out with the international ministry, and then being sent back to Singapore, and then from there feeling this call. Well, first the call to marriage, and he got married. By God's grace, amen. And then he got called to go back to study some more. And so I wanted him to share a little bit about his story, because I think his story is related to what I'm going to try to summarize everything with as we're talking about the circle. So Jackson, let's give him a hand as he comes up and shares.
All right, good morning, church. My name is Jackson, and I was born and raised in Singapore. I'm the oldest in my family of 3 brothers, and also the first in my family to come to know Christ. After graduating from high school in Singapore, God blessed me with a scholarship to study overseas. So after finishing up my mandatory military service in Singapore, I left friends and family to study civil and environmental engineering in the United States, where I was a member of the HMCC Church in Michigan, Ann Arbor. During that time, I went on several missions trips to China. And on these trips, I was introduced to urban missions, which is doing missions in the context of a city. And through those trips, God showed me that missions is not necessarily giving up one's job, you know, moving into the jungle with no access to electricity, which is the traditional missions we all understand to be. But missions is more than that. It can be done in a city while living in a city. So that was something new to me. You know, I can still have a day job. I can still have a working at a company. I can still participate in God's missions, you know, while I'm in the city. So that those experiences really transform my understanding and perspective of what World Missions is about. Also, through these trips, God started to put a burden on my heart for the nation of China, where my ancestors were originally from. God opened my eyes to see the privilege that I have as a fourth generation Chinese that's born outside of China, who had the opportunity to hear the gospel and believe in the good news. And then God was tugging at my heart for the hundreds of millions in China who never had a chance to hear, where there's no church that exists, no Christian friends, neighbors who could tell them about Jesus. And I was wrestling with this question: why would God, you know, allow me to be born in a place where I could, you know, have a chance to hear about Jesus? But what about all these millions who are perishing into Christless eternity? So that really gripped my heart. And for one whole year, God was knocking on the door of my heart. Who will go? Who will go and tell them the good news of Jesus Christ? Finally, at the end of my junior year, God gave me the courage to say, "Lord, I will go. Send me." Not long after I responded to God, not long after I made a commitment, I was faced with a dilemma. So what now? Does that mean that I should quit school, you know, give up being an engineer, and, you know, go to seminary and become a full-time pastor? I spent many nights praying and wrestling with that, but God was silent. I didn't hear a thing. One day, a pastor at a church recommended me a book. And that book transformed my theology of work. Previously, I thought that work was secular. You know, work was something that's worldly. It's nothing to do with God. But that book gave me a new perspective of what that work is created by God, and that God can be glorified through my work. And I realized that God can use my studies and what I'm going to do in missions too. Just as Adam was placed in the Garden of Eden to care for creation, I began to see how my studies and my work could make a difference to God's creation. I saw how God could use my civil and environmental engineering education to address, you know, the key issues that's facing the world today. Polluted rivers, deadly smog, hazardous waste. From that revelation, I gained a new, renewed purpose and passion for my studies. Every class that I attended, every assignment that I submitted, every exam that I took had a new meaning now. And God gave me the faith to believe that He's going to use that in the future. Soon I graduated from college, moved back to Singapore, and God led me to water and wastewater treatment work for my first job. And through those projects that I work on, I learned how to clean up polluted water into clean water for drinking and for other uses. As I grew in my skills and knowledge in this field, God began to connect the dots and showed me how I can use my work to participate in His kingdom work. The World Resources Institute reported that out of the 33 extremely stressed, water-stressed countries in year 2040, half of them are going to be in Asia. And guess what? China is going to be one of them. I realized that God can use my skills and knowledge to address the environmental issues and challenges that the people in China are facing. I can help bring clean water to those who do not have access to it. I can protect people from toxic and polluted waters that get them sick. It is my prayer that when God uses me to bring clean water to them, that I can also tell them about the living water that they can drink from and never thirst again. So it is with this prayer that I go to work each day here in Hong Kong, every meeting I attend and every report that I prepare. I'm thankful that there is greater meaning to my work now, greater purpose than just financial gain or career advancement. After spending time at HMCC of Singapore and HMCC of Austin, this past summer, my family, we moved out to Hong Kong. We felt that God wanted us to continue our preparation here. During our time here, we would be doing more research on China, we'll be gathering more information and making key connections as we serve in this church. Our family is praying through specific cities and people groups in China and even the type of ministry that is calling us to participate in. We are also undergoing leadership training, which is very important. We're getting equipped and also taking language classes so that we can better serve and bring the gospel to the people of China. So I believe God can use each and every one of us, our work, our experiences, our skills and knowledge to participate in bringing the good news of Jesus to the nations. My family is excited to participate with HMCC to fulfill God's mission in this part of the world, and we invite you to pray for us. We're so thankful for this church community that has been so supportive. And we hope that you can pray with us and along with us as we continue on this journey of living out God's calling. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Appreciate it. To me, this is just one story of many that I've heard throughout just being part of what we're doing. And I'm hoping that there will be many more here in Hong Kong, in HMCC Hong Kong. And as I kind of expounded on this passage, my hope and prayer is that you will see how important it is when we make it all about Jesus, knowing that He sends us out, and then we're going to not just do it here, but wherever He sends us, wherever He wants us to go, we will say yes to. Let me just quickly close out with some next steps, and I want to show you a quick video that I think will be relevant for us. And then we'll, as you can tell, we'll take communion. And let me just kind of bring it to the focal point of the circle. Everything I shared the last 40-some minutes, it was really the foundation about trusting in God's purpose and getting trained for His purpose. And what is His purpose for our church? And I know some of you might not be fully engaged in it for various reasons, but this is who we are. This is what God is calling us to do. And I pray that all the gifts and all your experience and everything that God is calling you to do in light of the gospel, that you will participate. The first thing that I want to share is we have to prepare for the future. That's the first thing that we want to make sure that we do. Let me just give you a quick kind of thought. When you look into the book of Acts, I studied the book of Acts, and I had to write a dissertation on part of that portion of book. And one of the things that I was so strongly struck by was how methodical Paul, the Apostle Paul, was when it came to doing missions. Let me give you some quick things that we see a pattern that he does over and over again. The first thing is this. He enters into a key city in the region. He doesn't go to these small little cities. And please, don't misunderstand me. It doesn't mean that God doesn't care for it, or it doesn't mean that it's not important. People are important, so wherever they are, it doesn't matter. Wherever they are, God cares for people, so people are important. So those cities, those villages, they're important. But I'm just looking at Paul, and you look at the book of Acts, one of the first things that he does in all of his three missionary journeys is that he's always going to key, influential, or important cities in that region. And so he understands that if you reach the city, you're going to be able to reach the whole area, something that I shared about last week on City Matters. The second thing you will notice about how Paul approaches planning a church is that he goes into synagogues. That's one of the second things that he does. He goes into a city, and the second thing is that he goes into a synagogue. He would go there because he wanted to present Jesus as the Messiah, because they're all waiting for the Messiah. So what he's doing is he's finding common ground. He's finding people who might be interested in these spiritual things. So he goes into the synagogues, preaches Jesus Christ being the Messiah whom they have crucified, and he rose again from the dead. The third thing that we will notice is then after some people who come to know Jesus Christ, he spends time with these new believers by discipling them. So once they're converted, Paul doesn't just leave them. He spends time with them, discipling them, helping them to grow, giving them the basics. I bet you he was trying to see alive disciples. Learning how to abide, live by faith, and imitating Jesus, valuing the kingdom, and being equipped for ministry. So he spends time discipling these early believers. After he does that, and probably within that same group of people, what he does is he raises up new leaders. He does this everywhere he goes. As he's spending a year, 3 months, it doesn't matter how long he stays at a city, one of the things that he does is that he raises up new leaders. Titus was one of them. Timothy was one of them. And that's why he commissions them to stay at these different places, because he's raising up leaders, because churches cannot survive without good leadership. The fifth thing that we see is that after he does that, he then moves on to another city and he repeats the process. So after he raised up enough leaders to oversee that church and disciple the people, he then goes to another city and does the same thing all over again. And the sixth thing that you need to understand is that he revisits the churches to give them encouragement. That's why he went on 3 missionary journeys. On some of these journeys, he went back to some of the churches that he planted, he started to encourage them so they could continue in their faith. Now, Pastor, what does this have any significance to us and what we're sharing about the circle? I want to make sure that we lay this out again, because we talk about it. You see these pictures. You probably are familiar with them now. But I want it so ingrained in your mind that you understand that this is what it is that we're trying to do as a church. The reason why we have life groups in different parts of the city is because we want to reach Hong Kong. That's why we have one in CUHK, in Poly U, in UST, and then we had started one this year at HKU. And if you look at this map, as we talked about, is because we want to be able to start life groups. And once you start life groups, if it's healthy, it will multiply, because more people will come, more people will come to know Jesus Christ, more people will get discipled, and when more people are getting discipled, more people are going to be raised up as leaders to serve in the church. So you're going to see life groups multiplying. And one of the things that we're praying about is, Lord, let us get to about 6 or 7 life groups per area. Because if you have 6 or 7 life groups, you could actually start a church site in that area. And that's why it's not just for the campuses, but we're also looking at families. And that's why right now we have several families who live way out in no man's land. I don't know. This is the boondocks way out there. But they have some families here. How awesome would it be if they could just reach out to people in that area, start multiplying? Then if we actually see some of these different campuses growing, then we could actually start a church. Same thing with over here. We have some families that are in this area in Hung Hum. And what would it be like if some of those married couples groups and family groups, they start multiplying? Then what we're going to do is we're going to see a site here. And that's why we've been praying about even this area of HKU and some of the single adults. If we're seeing multiplication of people getting discipled, and as you can tell, these lines are the train lines. If every single stop has a life group, how awesome would that be? We're going to be able to reach Hong Kong. That's why we're trying to fill the blue areas to help you to see visually. If we can reach these areas, I don't want to even touch that now. We're just going to focus on HKU, help it to grow. But some of you who either went there, you're alumnus, or you just have a burden for English or whatever, you talk to me later. But all I'm saying is, because this is more like an LSNA kind of thing, language and science. Well, anyway, not science, but I don't even know what LSNA stands for. Arts and whatever, studies, right? Or something like that. Anyway, tell me later. It's not coming to me. But if we reach these different areas in the blue and it begins to grow and spread, we're going to be able to reach Hong Kong. And as you know, we were reaching Hong Kong because why? Because if you look at this next picture, you will notice that close to 52 to 53% of the world's population is in the circle. This is the reason why we are passionate about what we're doing. We want to transform the world. And we are on this side of the world. And for whatever reason, God has placed us here. And this is something that I had no clue about. But as God was leading us to come to Hong Kong, when I saw this article and I saw this map, I literally dropped, I was like shocked. You know, when you're like clicking to get that, and you're just like, that was the look that I had. Because when I looked at this, I realized, what is in the center? It's not Vietnam, okay? It's Hong Kong. And that's when I realized, God, you're bringing the pieces together. And that from Hong Kong, as I showed you earlier, if we could reach Hong Kong, from Hong Kong, then we can spread to different places around the world. That's why we're calling that as the circle. And so now in this next one that you will notice is what I've been trying to help you to visualize in a very practical way. From Hong Kong, all you need to do is take a 4 to 5 hour flight, plane ride, and you will reach that circle. You got to imagine that. So some within this area is the 4 hour. You could reach Shanghai, Beijing, Taipei, Manila. We already have Singapore. We need to pray about KL and Indonesia. We have a church there. Seoul. We plant churches according to where there's good food. Okay, amen. So this is all within 4 hours. And then if you go further, that's where Tokyo, and you reach greater portion of China. And we're getting a little bit into India. And as I'm trying to visualize this, I realize, God, you want us to reach Hong Kong because it is in the center of the 52, 53% of the world's population. And you have strategically placed Hong Kong in this geographical area that out of Hong Kong, you just fly in any direction and we're going to be able to reach some of these global cities. That is not a coincidence. And I will say it wasn't my idea at all, because that takes someone who's pretty smart. And I'm not that smart, so I just know that it was God who had led us to this point without knowing any of this. And it's just God giving us the right pieces at the right time so we will obey step by step. And the reason why this is important is because now we're looking at this other picture, which is from an in-flight magazine on a plane ride. And this was the vision that God spoke to me about before we even started HMCC of Hong Kong. I felt like the Holy Spirit in that plane ride. I was just, because I was bored. I was flipping through this in-flight magazine and I turned to this page. And once again, I felt like the presence of God saying, reach Hong Kong, you're going to reach the rest of the world. And as I looked at this, these are all the flights from this one airline company. But God used this to help me to visualize that if we reach Hong Kong, we get to reach all these different global cities. And then he tied it back into that circle, which was some years even after this. And then here I am just thinking, okay, let's reach Hong Kong. Let's be faithful to this. And then from there, wherever else he leads us, we'll just say yes to. I want to say yes to God whenever he leads me. When he doesn't, I don't want to say yes. So we're going to discern. We're going to pray. We're going to ask the Lord as we assess. And the reason why this is important is because I want you to picture this in your mind. Because as you know, China, God is doing something and is even using a secular government, a communistic government, to accomplish his purpose. That's why we have to believe and trust in his purpose. And we have to be trained for that purpose. Because in the next some years, you will notice that there's this thing called the Belt and Road Initiative. We were just in that Kowloon area, in the Elements area, Jordan, that Austin area, and the TST, and they're actually trying to finish up that train that's going to go directly into China. And the thing is that if we reach, here's Hong Kong, and so the Belt and Road Initiative from here, we're reaching 48% of the population that are in some of these other areas. These are all the different roads, whether it's a train or bridges or different things that they're trying to. This is the old Silk Road where the trade happened a long time ago. And so, once again, the reason why we're trying to reach Hong Kong is because it is in the center of the circle. And if we could reach Hong Kong, we're going to be able to connect it to all these other roads that's going to lead us back to Central and Western Asia and lead us all the way back to Jerusalem and back to the Middle East, where the gospel has to go forth till every single person has heard the good news of Jesus Christ. This is why we are doing what we're doing. So can I just give us some practical things? Like, if this is the circle that we're talking about and why we're committed to doing what we're doing, I want you to remember the word plant. Don't think about like a little plant, but actually starting something. We're planting something. And what I'm encouraging you to do is to join me in living out these things in the months and years to come until God opens up a door. The first thing is pray. There is nothing that could happen without prayer. That's why I want to encourage you to pray. That's why we're going to have this thing called One Desire Fast, which is about a week and a half of fasting and praying. We're going to do this in the beginning of the year, sometime in January, the mid-January. We're going to do this to lead us right up to the retreat. We need to start praying. Some of you who are still lost, don't know why you're here, what you're doing. Use those times to pray. Say, God, what is on your heart? What do you want me to do? Some of you got to start praying because maybe God wants you to apply to a missions project next summer in 2018. We're going to be opening it up for those who are single adults and families who might have the opportunity to go. And then we're going to open up for college students. Maybe this is something as you're praying that God is working on your heart. The L is this. This is about planting and starting something. As you pray, the second thing is learn about that city. Learn as much as you can. I will share one thing, and please don't misunderstand me. It's something that I'm just praying through, and I'm trying to learn. It dawned upon me recently because I was reading. I do quite a bit of reading throughout the week, and I was reading several articles that talked about Shenzhen. And I know some of you, every time you hear Shenzhen, you think about cheap, good Chinese food and massages. I think that's the only thing that comes to your mind. But there's lost people who don't know Jesus Christ, and it's a first-tier city in China, and it's close to Hong Kong. And just in this past 6 months, there have been some connections where people have been introducing me to some of the people there and just got the WeChat, and that's it. But I haven't even met them yet. And as I was kind of praying through this, as I was reading all these articles, I realized that so much is going on in Shenzhen that now, in terms of technology, entrepreneurship, all the stuff, it is developing. There are people, even from Hong Kong, who are traveling to Shenzhen every single day to work there, which doesn't make sense to me. You should be living there because it's cheaper, right? And coming, but anyway, they commute to Shenzhen, and I was thinking, like, it's so close where from where I live. I think it's about, what, a 30-some minute train ride. From here, it might be a little bit longer, but to think that we're close enough that we could even try to do some work. So right now, I'm just in prayer, and right now, I am learning as much as I can about this city. Because some of you have a burden for China. And if we can start something in Shenzhen, which is close enough to Hong Kong, then I believe we could start even pray about Shanghai and Beijing and some of these other cities in China. Because at least we're right there. So if something happens, we could like come back. Maybe. You know? Maybe. So I realized that maybe this is something God's doing. Like I said, please don't misunderstand me. We're not going to start anything. I have something that I do with the executive team. It's called WTF. And it's not what you think it means. It means wind, twig, and fire. WTF. Because sometimes you're like, what the? Every time I talk or we share, they're always like, what the, what? And I said, WTF. When it's W, a win, that means I'm just tossing it out there. Just, it just blows and it's just nothing. You know, when there's a cool breeze, like, ah. A twig is something that's a little bit more, has some stability. It's like, okay, maybe it seems that we're moving in this direction. Fire is fire. Like, we got to do it right now. Shenzhen is a W. It's just a win. I'm learning about the city. I'm praying. The A is assessment and affirmation.
as you're learning about the city, God has to give you that confirmation in your heart. It has to affirm what it is that you, so part of it is through prayer. Part of it is learning how to assess what's going on. Is it even feasible? Do we have the resources? Do we have the right people? All these things you have to look at before you even start something. And the fourth is network with others. What I mean by that is in our church, there might be other people who are praying about missions. There are other people who are praying about China, or who are praying about Europe, who are praying about Africa, who are praying about whatever country or continent. And so you got to start networking. And I'm praying that some of you will start meeting each other and realize, wow, you have a heart for this place as well, or you have a heart for this minority group, whoever it may be. And we're hoping that God will stir some of your hearts. And then the T is to train. What we're hoping for in the future, this is all things that we're trying to develop, is we want to train people who can actually go and start churches or even just life groups. That's why if you can do a life group well, you can start a church. It's just a miniature version of it. And so that's why we're going to start training. One of the dreams that we have is that we can start a training school, a school, a ministry school, a school of ministry right here in Hong Kong. So we're training people and then sending them out into different places around the world. That's what we're trying to do. And I'm sharing all this because every single one of us in this room, we can play a part. I think the first thing you can do, as I mentioned here, is to pray. Join us in prayer and see how God will use your talents, your gifts. Just like Jackson, all the stuff, it connected the dots, and you realize all my studies, everything that I experienced, God's going to use that to be able to reach a people group or a place. The second thing is I want you to prayerfully respond. And we're going to do this a little bit later after I show this quick video. I'm going to have you respond to God. And I don't want anyone to leave here without at least responding to at least one thing. And we made it in such a way that some of you who are a little bit further away, you're just like not really sure. It's simple enough that you can commit to. There are some of us in this room, God is challenging you throughout this whole missions month to commit to next summer's missions project. I want you to be able to follow through and obey the Holy Spirit. Some of you, God will challenge you to even just give to the work of mission. Give your time in prayer or give financially so that we can go and do the work. Even some of you guys already know we're sending a team right here locally in Hong Kong, and they need to raise support. And so we want to be able to help support them in prayer and also financial giving. So some of us, wherever you are, there's different levels in which you can commit to, so that we can make this missions month something that we'll remember and say, God, I want to get close to your heart, and your heart is for mission. This is your mission, and I want to be a part of it. I want to share with you about Lottie Moon. Those of you who might not be familiar with her, she was a missionary in the late 1800s. Something about the 1800s, there was like powerful move of the Holy Spirit. Lord, renew them in our day, I pray. Those of you who are not familiar with her, you might want to do a Google search later on and you can study about this lady. Lottie Moon, she was 32 years old. Some of you are like, oh, that's so old. It's not, okay? It's young. She was 32 years old. And you know what she ended up doing? She ended up turning down a marriage proposal. She left her job. She left her home, and she left her family to follow God's lead. Now, God must have spoken to her powerfully for her to give up marriage, give up her job, give up her family, her home, her security, so that she can go to China. And she began to write frequent letters back home. And so the video that you're going to watch is somebody reading some of these letters that she sent, because it's on record, and they're reading this letter on her behalf as if it's her. And at the same time, intertwined in this letter, there's going to be two people who are living right now, young people like us, and they're sharing their response to what God has been doing, and you'll see how it kind of overlaps together. And then at the end, it's going to be this thing called limitless, because this idea of what it is that God is wanting to do, because he is limitless if we'll just fully trust him. Afterwards, I'm going to go specifically into the response. That's going to lead us directly into the communion, and then we'll close out there. So let's watch this together. I'm going to ask us right now if you could just turn to your phones and if you could tap onto our app. And if you don't have our app, just go to the website. It's all up here, I believe. And so you can look at it here. And I'm going to ask you, go to the response section. And I'm going to just go through them really quickly. And we just need you to respond and then just send it in. First of all, is to commit to praying regularly for Hong Kong and learning about the needs of the city. I think that's something anyone can do. Second thing is, I commit to living out the kingdom culture in my life group by, and you fill in the blank, whatever values you have in your life group. Something that you realize that you want to help build up the life group, because that's like a small church. If you could do it there, you could do it anywhere. The third thing is, I commit to faithfully using my time, treasure, and talents for my in my workplace or classroom and serving others around me. Something else that we can do. I don't know if you noticed, but each one of them are things that we covered in the four parts. Fourth is, I commit to financially supporting missions projects both locally and globally. So whether it's this one coming up in December, maybe supporting financially for the summer missions project, or even future church plants that we're going to be doing. And lastly, number five, I commit to participating in the mission to reach the circle by considering and praying about the 2018 summer missions project. I'm excited about it because I'm going to go and just finalize things. But we're going to be going to Kunming and finding out other things that we're going to be connected to there. And I feel like God's going to slowly open up more doors for us to reach the circle. And I know right now you don't have all the details, you don't have all the dates, but if you just feel burdened and just being able to then respond as you find out more information, because after December, I'm going to have more of the information available to you, but at least respond if you feel like that's something that you want to do. So if you could just respond to one or a couple that the Holy Spirit has spoke to you about, and then after you have done that, send that in. And then I'm going to have you stand and we're going to take communion together, and as we are in His presence, just to be reminded the importance of the Lord's communion. So as we prepare the table, I want to make sure that we're very clear. Let me give you another 30 seconds or so to fill it out just really quickly. If you guys need a little bit more time, maybe towards the end when we finish off, you could respond then. But let's make a commitment that we're going to do something. For a whole month, we've been talking about missions or Transformersphere, how I could use my job and my studies for the glory of God. Let's respond somehow to God and say, God, this is what I want to do. And I need help, your strength, your power.